Rump steak. Purged aubergine. Yes. Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
Welcome to Lanny Davidson and Barry Saunders to the BFM studios.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny.
How are your headphones? Are they too loud, too quiet?
No, they sound great.
Perfect.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Sound like we're in Pink Floyd or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've quarterly invited you guys up to the BFM studios. You're obviously playing a couple of shows around Auckland and the wider Auckland up in Lee Sawmill this weekend.
Yep.
And you're hitting all the bars because you've got a brand new record out which you've done together.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we jump into this guest selection segment, do you just want to sort of tell us a little bit about the record and how you came together and how it came to be and what exactly it is?
Sure. Well, I'll have a go and then Barry can have a go and see how much of it's the same.
See if we can glue it together.
Yeah, we met on a tour we were doing and we kind of bonded over the sound check because Barry started playing all these old songs that I never saw him do before, and really liked the flavour of them, all these old dark gospel tunes. And then I was doing my sound check and just set the loop machine up doing the chunka 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 thing, and I wandered off around the room to hear how it sounded in different parts, and Barry just got up on the mic and started singing along to the loops because it was the sort of feel that he liked. And I think that was the first time we realised, oh, there's a lot of common ground we have together and a lot of potential for a crossover.
Yeah, and a love of this similar music, sort of roots music, probably blues based loosely, and probably both coming from the South Island helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonded over.
Even though I live in Wellington, sort of my roots are still down there.
Amazing.
So we did that, and then we ended up getting thrown together on a songwriting camp and spent an afternoon in the kitchen, and about three of these songs just sort of fell out of nowhere, and we realised, wow, there's a real rich vein of this stuff that we can tap into. So we organised a couple more little sessions of getting together in the kitchen at my place and smashed out these songs, and that all came together really fast in the end.
Did you record them in the kitchen?
Yep,
for real?
Yeah.
That is so mint.
Yeah. It was comfortable that
way. Did you have to like shut down any rattles and stuff like that or what?
No, well, you'd like those rattles.
All right, All right.
Big fan of it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, we've got some of your stuff queued up, but we've also asked you to select some other songs which have, I guess, tickled your fancy along your musical voyage.
Yeah, well, I think the songs I selected for that just sort of reflect maybe the roots of where some of the music we're doing is based, or some of the earlier influences on our musical journeys we've both undertaken over the years.
We've got first up Johnny. Is it Johnny Burnett and the Rock something?
Johnny Burnett.
Johnny Burnett. Johnny Burnett. Johnny Burnett. Train Kept Rolling.
Yep. Train Kept Rolling. Yeah,
that's a good song.
Is this is Train Kept Rolling at like sort of a blues standard?
It's a classic. A lot of people played it. If you saw that movie,
Blow Up.
Blow Up. You would have seen a pretty wild version of that.
It spawned a whole lot of other songs that similar. It's a bit like a Bo Diddley sort of beat, you know. That sort of, it's got a lot of relations, you know.
Creeping in all over the place.
Creeping in, creeping under the doorway.
Let's hear it.
Get along.
Johnny Burnett, The Train Kept Rolling, a sort of classic cover which has been passed around generations of musicians. Do you guys do any covers in your set?
We do quite a few. We do an old Charlie Feathers song. We're tinkering around with some other classics. So I guess for us it's spreading that menu of this kind of a feel, mm-hmm. and just presenting it, whether it's one we've written or one that we love and hold dear to our hearts.
It's part of a blueprint, you know. We do Otis Redding's Security, and
we had a bit of a whack at John the Revelator today. We're just trying out different stuff, you know, because that's the first time we played today was our rehearsal with Chris O'Connor and Mark Hughes, so we're all just looking for the common ground.
Is so that Sunhouse?
A little
John the Revelator was...
It is Sunhouse, yeah.
Blind Lebin Jefferson as many well. People. A lot of people did that song.
It's always trying hard to find the first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably the origins of those songs are so covered up you can't really find out where they originally came from. They just suddenly were around and everybody played them and knew them.
Mm. Now, the next tune you've queued up is the Everly Brothers with Muskrat. Tell us a bit about this selection.
Yeah, that's a similar feel for that is the way that... the rhythm is like it's rhythmic. The singing's rhythmic. The guitar playing's rhythmic. Everything's moving into a more of a groove-based feel instead of melodic stuff, and just tricky, weird songs that are really simple all at the same time.
The Everly Brothers.
Good. That's almost like early Beatles meets Bo Diddley or something. They've got a lot of the beautiful close harmony singing, and then you've got this really great rhythm going on too with the maracas on the snare drum.
Amazing. Sorry, we're just having a bit of a rummage around in the background to try and find this tune you've sent through. The R.L. Burnside. So there's a couple of different versions of this kicking around. You were saying off here that he played this right throughout his career.
Yeah, this is one of those things that just sort of he had in his box and kept coming out over and over. And the different versions you see him, if you're watching the videos, he's getting older and older and older. Mm. And this version's nice because he's still so young. You see different videos from this era where he had his kids hanging out, and they're all like from the age of 4 through to 11, and they all take turns doing this hambone dancing where they're kind of slapping on their thighs and really getting into it. And that starts off with the young, he says, "You do it in this order," and he tells them,
like the pattern.
The youngest one goes first, and he's like pretty pretty amazing, but he's, you know, he's four.
Yeah.
And then it ends up with the 11-year-old, and he is unbelievable. He's so good.
Right, at just whacking out patterns. On
yeah, yeah, really good. And you can see Yarrow Burnside's really proud of him as well, and like
sick,
looking at the camera guy going, check this out. It's yeah, really, really great.
Amazing.
Yeah. But this this version's from that period in his life.
See My Jumper Hanging on the Line, 1978.
See My Jumper Hanging on the Line.
R.L. Burnside. That's probably one of the. He died not that long ago, but I remember there's a great movie about Fat Possum, the record label, trying to get him to come away on tour, and he didn't want to leave because he was getting this welfare benefit. He's saying, "No way, man. Who's gonna look after my family?" And they're saying, "You're gonna make so much more money if you come away and you do this stuff." And he's just like, "No, I'm not gonna. I can't leave the family, you know."
He had a sure thing.
Yeah.
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 Couldn't entice him away with all the promises of riches and fame.
Speaking of promises of riches and fame, Delaney, you do a bit of international travel.
That's full of riches and fame, yeah.
Well, promises.
That's something, yeah, maybe promises.
Have you got any shows lined up over the rest of 2019? Are you going to try and get away? Because you've done a bit in the past.
Yeah, I'll get away through August, I reckon, probably August to mid-October, and head through, do some stuff in the UK, hit some places I normally play over in Europe, and then go from Munich down through into Eastern Europe through Romania and Serbia, Hungary, and these countries.
Do you have a particular audience over there or any particular spots which, you know, you really get the people out?
I have places I go where I've been going for years and I, you know, people come out and see me and see what I do. But there's also bookers, a great guy I work with based in Belgrade who books shows, books us at Eastern League. So this is the third time we've worked together, so I'll go and he's setting up some stuff spread around there.
Do they have sort of exceptional hospitality in the Eastern Bloc?
Some of them do. Some of the, you get saying, I stayed in this really weird place that didn't feel that nice. It just didn't feel good. And then other places, you know, you're eating with somebody's... Other times you're eating with someone's mum, you know, so they're cooking you stuffed cabbage leaves and things like that. So there is a real down-home side to it. And, I mean, some of the towns you went through, they hadn't had a concert there for 15 years or something. So it's pretty strange. And then some of the border crossings, you're going through from the bottom of Hungary into Serbia, and it's a pretty strange vibe there, you know. You've got these two guys on each side and people with their... trailers full of cabbages and
great, bored with guns.
Now, shall we play this Gun Club and then we'll come back and have a chat a bit more about Barry and your tour.
Yeah, let's do that. I chose this Gun Club song because this is one of the more recent, I guess there's always these waves of old music coming back, and the Gun Club was definitely a synthetic moment for older blues classics being brought into the punk world or something like that. So, the Gun Club.
I tried my best, but I could not. And my eyes fade for me in this open country.
There you go, the Gun Club.
Brilliant.
Nice guitar.
It sounds exceptionally good. And so that's early 80s?
Yeah, 82 I think we figured that was, which is, as we also said, quite a different sort of thing going on from a lot of what else was happening at that time.
Would you say, does that sort of, where does that sit? Is it, is saying Americana too broad of a...
Man, Americana just is one of those terms that I don't even know what it means anymore, but so much music has come from the original influence of this conflux of people that met in the States, and you had people from Africa and people from Germany and people from Italy and people from Ireland, and just was, I mean, all those things are such rich cultures of their own, so you combine them all and you've got this insane breeding ground of stuff, and that just sort of spread all over the world. But at the same time, that had the roots of early English Gregorian singing in it, and that had African rhythms in it, and that had, you know, all, it's just such a, you don't, I don't even know where to begin, but everything in a way is Americana.
Now, Delaney Davidson and Barry Saunders, you are touring a brand new album. Would you say that those sort of influences, like all those influences that you just listed off, have sort of poured into this new album, or...?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. My influence was probably a bit older than Delaney's. You know, like I like Jimmy Rogers and people like that. And,
yeah, we just didn't play any of them. I think that's definitely.
Well, a lot of our songs are like that. They're sort of word gets around. Our title track is certainly written along the Jimmy Rogers way, and it's just sort of taken on a life of its own and gone mad.
Yeah.
As we were saying a bit earlier before, you guys came together and all recorded it in a kitchen.
Most of it. Then
most
we
of it
hung
in
out
kitchen.
With Joel Mulholland in the lab.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and he helped us to. He did all the drumming, which really lifted the game. And he
engineered it.
Yeah, so that had quite a big effect.
Yeah,
we'd done a lot of the tracking in my kitchen, and then we took that to Joel,
and we did some in Wellington.
Yeah,
and. Took it to Joel.
And then we took it to Joel.
So he just played to the guitars and the vocals that were already there and like
because it was all done to a click track because we'd used loops and stuff. So then he could just get these sort of drum loops and put them in where he wanted them.
Easy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nice. And put some fairy dust on it.
Of course.
Yeah.
So the album is called Word Gets Around.
Yeah.
If people want to find it, Word Gets Around and where you can get your hands on it. But where do people track it down? Are you going to have it on sale with you at the show and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we'll have copies for sale at the show, and it's distributed through record stores in New Zealand. If you want to get it, you can order it online. You can even get a digital download
of it. There you go.
But the best way would obviously be to come to the show on Friday or Saturday at the Wine Cellar and hear the songs live and take a copy home.
So we've got,
there's no excuse because you've got Friday night, you've got Saturday night, both at the Wine Cellar. People can still get tickets for them.
Friday nights with a band and Saturday nights as a duo. And then Sunday we'll go up and we'll play a late matinee show in Lee.
At the Lee Sawmill Cafe. One of BFM's favourite venues, so if you're going to head out of town.
Yep, that's a
What
really
time does
nice
it start?
I reckon the show will start around 5.
Good.
Yeah. You're going to
we'll be
there?
In bed by 7.
With a band meeting?
That means you guys are in the band now.
Oh shit. Start smacking something.
Yeah.
All right. So hey, don't dilly dally. If you're listening out there, get your hands on some tickets. You can get them from Under the Radar. That's a great place to get them, or maybe on the door even if they get, if
yeah,
they
there
run
might
out
be a
time.
Couple of walk-ups left, but would definitely pay to grab yourself a cheap ticket off Under the Radar.
Mint. Now, I've got a song, Special Rider Blues, that we're going to play from you guys. Do you want to tell me a bit about that?
This is a Skip James song, and this isn't one of ours. This is a Skip James song. It's the first song I can ever remember playing at the Folk Club in Christchurch. And about a 17-year-old playing to a whole lot of old folkies, stroking their beards and nodding knowledgeably or whatever they do. And it was a bit scary. I remember it being hellishly scary. And I got the opportunity to do a couple of songs. I can't remember what the other one was now, but Special Rider Blues is the one I liked. It was a bit of a staple around the folk clubs in the early days, and there's many versions of it, and it's one of those songs that's had a lot of lives, you know. But I think the Skip James one is the most intact piece. People have added verses on and stuff like that, but I think Skip James's version is pretty intact, and I think even I do say it myself, mostly due to Delaney's production, it's a pretty... I like to think that if he could hear it, he'd probably like it.
That's a nice feeling. So it's quite true to the original, or just got...
It's true to the original lyrically. Yeah. The vibe is true to the original, but it's sort of... it's got a bit of extra spookiness in it.
Perfect.
All right, well, hey, Barry Saunders and Delaney Davidson, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having us.
A round of applause.
Hey, bravo! Yakapai.
Check this out and pick up their album and go and see them play live.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.